Matthew chapter 4, and we're looking here at and considering the life of the Apostle Peter as we have it in the Scriptures, and not all of his life. We don't know anything about him from the standpoint of his childhood, but here in chapter 4, verse number 18 of Matthew, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net of the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then John chapter 21. And I review these verses just to kind of to hammer this point home as we think about Peter, and maybe the Lord would use them in your life to remember about Peter and the call of the Lord upon him. Here, the Lord dealing with the disciples, apostles after his resurrection in John 21:21, and Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Speaking of John. And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So follow thou me is our theme and our thought in considering the life of the Apostle Peter. And in recent times, we've seen how the Lord, how Peter met the Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand him at that time to be a man saved. But then later on, the Lord Jesus comes into Galilee and calls him and his brothers and James and John partners with Andrew and Peter in the fishing business to follow him, and then appoints them to be apostles. They begin to see that power of the Lord, and the Lord manifests that. He even gives the power unto them. We saw last time about how was it, you know, Peter has got confidence. He's got confidence in the Lord. And the Lord comes walking on the water, and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. As long as he has his eyes, even being called an apostle, even being given the power and the directive from the Lord about how to use that power, if he didn't keep his eyes on the Lord, he sank. But the Lord was there to catch him. And so we want to look at Peter's life, and we don't want to be critical of him, but we want to learn from his life, the account of his life. There's a lot that's here. There's a lot that's here about our brother, and we can learn from that. We can learn from that. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Let's take a look here. And we're trying to just walk through this in order and in the Scriptures. And then from this study also, we can see about how we can parallel up the Gospels, different markers in the Scriptures that we can use to take the Gospels and put them together, accounts in the Gospels about same events that we can take and learn more about those events. And so here in chapter 15, we have this. Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees come to him at the beginning of the chapter. They challenge him about the washing, not washing their hands. Okay, Jesus and his disciples before they eat. The Lord talks to him about their tradition, how they transgress the commandment of God by tradition. May we not do that. He talks to them about how they don't honor their father and their mother. They take the writings of the fathers and the allowances of the fathers and put that above what the Lord commanded. He talks about the honoring with lips, vain worship. And then we come to verse 10. Let's pick it up here. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? So now these fellows have grown up under the specter of the religious leadership and the Pharisees and the Sadducees all their life. They pay attention to them. At least they look their way to see what they're thinking, along with the scribes and lawyers and all that. And so they come to the Lord Jesus and say, you know you offended them. Don't you know that what you said offended them? And then came the disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? Now, they've been going with the Lord Jesus, and they've seen the authority by which he speaks, right? We've seen about that. We've seen the power that the Lord Jesus has manifested. We've seen how he's given them power to be able to do the things that he's called them to do. And But they see Jesus cutting across the grain, and you know they're kind of looking, but they know that Jesus is they know the Lord Jesus Christ is real, but then they look at this that they've had all their lives, and they're kind of looking back and forth. Don't you know you offended them? But he answered verse 13 and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." So the Lord begins to speak to them in a parable. Let them alone. Okay, now this big statement here. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So the Lord tells plainly, if my Father hasn't planted them, they're going to be rooted up. He said, leave them alone. Don't bother with them. These Pharisees and Sadducees that were there, these Pharisees and scribes, it says in this passage, he says, leave them alone. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And so they are leaders, and they're blind. And anybody that's following them, trying to find the way, they're blind. And if you follow after those blind leaders, the Lord Jesus Christ says, you're going to both end up in the ditch. What a condemnation. What an indictment against them. These are supposed to be the leaders in Israel, aren't they? Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And so what we see here is that Peter wants to know. Peter wants to know more. Said, will you explain that to me? Will you explain that to us? Do we spend time with the word of our Lord and have questions about it? Do we spend time with the word of our Lord and have questions about it and then go to our Lord asking him to explain what it means? Peter was there, and Peter really wanted to know. He wanted to understand. He's seen this contradiction of those that he's grown up with all of his life and how they're to be honored. And in the end, the Lord Jesus Christ says, they sit in Moses' seats. Whatever they bid you to do, do. They've got a problem themselves, but whatever they bid you to do, do. That's your responsibility. But understand, the Lord tells them, that's where they're coming from. Peter sees this, the Lord, and then what he says about them, and he says, will you explain this to us more? And do you and I spend enough time with the Word of God to develop questions? My pastor always said, it's good to read, and it's good to study, and it's good to have questions. Because if you have questions about the Word of the Lord, then in a conversation with a brother and sister in Christ, or in services, or in your Sunday school class, or at a fellowship meeting, the Lord may use those messages or those teachings to answer your question. Do we have questions? Do we want to know? Do we want to know? Are our questions really, you know, in the meat and the depth of the Scripture? Okay, and I don't mean that you've got to, you know, you've got to be digging to the hardest to be understood doctrine and such as that. What I'm wanting to make a comparison against is, you know, endless genealogies and things that gender strife. You know, we're to avoid that, the Scripture tells us. But do you have questions about the Word of God? Do you want to know how it works out? And do you go to the Lord with that? Lord, I want to understand more about what you're saying in your word. What's this passage mean? You've put it in here. It's worded the way that it is. What does it mean? How does it work? Why is this book written by this man at the time that it's written, at the age that he is? What is it, Lord? Show me. Show me. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Tell us. And Jesus said, are ye also without understanding? Here we have the Lord reproving, rebuking. But you know, it's good. It's good to have one that loves us so that will rebuke us. Are we rebuked by that? Are you yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly? So he's talking about what's mentioned here in verses 10 and 11 about this defiling of a man. He says it's not eaten with unwashed hands that defiles you. Are you yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth out in the belly and cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So Peter wanted to know. And you know what? What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? Peter, you should know this already. Beat it and get out of here. I've got stuff to go do. Is that what the Lord said? No, the Lord rebuked him. He rebuked them and reproved them. That's kind of maybe on the line of reprove or rebuke. But you know what the Lord did? He taught them, didn't he? If you and I go and ask, our Lord will teach us. We have that promise as His people. We certainly have that promise as His church. He'll teach us. He will teach us. And so we see here a desire to know the meaning of our Lord's parables and our Lord's word. Then we come over here to the next chapter in Matthew chapter 16. And we see here a good marker in the Gospels, and this is one that you want to note and mark down because if we understand it correctly, all these four accounts are the same point in time here in the Scriptures. They're kind of surrounding that feeding that the Lord did of the 4,000, and you remember about the feeding that the Lord did of the 4,000 where seven baskets were taken up, and then the feeding of the 5,000 wherein 12 baskets were taken up. And I'll just give you this, the feeding of the 4,000 is accounted for in Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 8. It seems to be last. And the feeding of the 5,000 with 12 baskets taken up is accounted in Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6. Okay? And so now, let's look here in Matthew chapter 16. Here in this chapter, the Lord reminds them, okay? The Lord says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. All right, verse number 6. The disciples say, is it because we didn't take any bread? And the Lord says, I'm not talking about having bread. Don't you remember about how much you had left over when I fed the 5,000? Verse number 9. Don't you remember how much we had left over when I fed the 4,000? Right? Seven baskets full. He said, I'm not talking to you about stuff to eat. We can have something to eat anytime we want it. But I'm talking to you about their doctrine. Their doctrine. That's what he's talking to them. And he comes to this point in verse number 13 where he asks his disciples, he says, who do the people say that I am? And they told him. Some thought John the Baptist, some think Elijah, some think Jeremiah, some think other of the prophets. And then the Lord takes to them, we've preached on this in time past, who do you say that I am? Well, who do you say? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, in verse number 16, answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Solid testimony concerning his Savior. Do you think that Peter was convinced? Oh, he was convinced and convicted about it, wasn't he? He's the one that's accounted in the Scriptures that toned up, that chimed up and answered. He gave answers. Simon Peter answered. We come over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we see the same account here. Verse 17, the Lord says, "Why reason ye? Because we have no bread. Remember the 5,000. Remember the 4,000. Okay. So those accounts have passed, and we're at a point here that this thing about the Lord warning about the leaven, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, verse 15. And then he heals someone. And then he asks in verse 27, "Who do men say that I am?" And so they gave their answer. And then he says in verse 29, "Ask them, who do you say that I am?" You know, who do you say the Lord is? Who do you say that the Lord is? Peter answered, verse 29, and saith unto him, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ." You know, this was a notable point because it is mentioned in all the scriptures. In Luke chapter 9, we come over here. And this is one of those milestones that, like I said, kind of ties the Gospels together for us. And here it tells about the feeding of the 5,000. And then it comes to this. And again, from the other accounts in the scriptures, it seems that the feeding of the 5,000 was first, the feeding of the 4,000 second. And he comes here, and it came to pass, verse 18. So who do the people say that I am? And they told, and he said in verse 20, ask him, but who do you say that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. The answer accounted is just a little bit different every time, but some things more, some of them less. In Matthew, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In Mark chapter 8, it was, "Thou art the Christ." In Luke accounts it, Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." Who do you say that I am? And in all of these, we see in verse 21, or at least in a couple of them, in verse 21, he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. You know, when someone asks you, We hardly don't even have anybody anymore that asks us about Christ, that what would we say? You know, I'm wondering, and you know, salvation is certainly in the hands of the Lord, but we're told to go and tell the seed and the good news of Christ. You know, I'm just wondering and considering and asking the Lord about it, about what it is that those first words that I bring to somebody, what they should be, and I shouldn't put the Lord Jesus Christ more forward in it. Okay, here's something that I've been thinking about, and thinking of this thought of the love of the truth. Rather than asking somebody if they're saved or not. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way I've done ever since I've been saved. You know, are you saved? And they say, "What are you talking about, saved?" You know, they don't even know. I've been wondering about maybe the first words out of my mouth shouldn't be something like, "You know, the truth that I love is that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me on Calvary, was buried, and rose again, so that I might have life." Rather than asking them a question, a leading question, I wonder if I just shouldn't tell them the truth that I love. You know what I'm saying? Just get right out there with it. Don't give them any opportunity to want to do like the woman at the well at Sychar and talk about everything under the sun. But just tell them. Okay? And that's just something that I'm dealing with. Peter, who do you think that I am? The Christ of God. We come over here to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and here's the free lunch crowd, and in this, you know, we have a greater expansion about it, about how this was, and let's see. Yeah, in chapter 6, we see the feeding of the 5,000, okay? And in verse 11, he took the loaves, gave thanks, and they were filled, gathered the fragments. Verse number 12, remained, nothing be lost. They gathered 12 baskets, okay, 5,000 and 12. And they chased the Lord around, right? They're around Galilee some. You remember about that. And then we see here where many of them had gone away, right? In verse number 60, what the Lord said about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, they said in verse number 60 of the latter part, these that went away, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? It's not worth the free lunch to stay for this. And they go away. The Lord says in verse 63, the words that he speaks unto them, their spirit and their life. So he's not talking about physical. He's not talking about cannibalism. He's talking about the need of sinners of Christ. We need him more than we need food. And then we come to this point here in verse number 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back to walk no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Now this is different here, but it is very near the feeding of the 5,000, and so I wonder if it's not the same occasion. Nevertheless, when challenged about who the Lord is and whether they will go or whether they will stay, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter, verse 68, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who do you say that I am? Well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Will you also go away? To whom shall we go? There's no one else to go to. And we see here that it is Brother Peter. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Do you believe that and know that? Do you believe that and know that, and that your Lord has given those words of eternal life to you? That they're to you? It's one thing to know that he's got them, and Peter knows that, but Peter's been a partaker of that, hadn't he? He said, there's nowhere else to go, Lord. There's nowhere else to go. What you've been speaking here, even though I may not understand what you've been saying, there's no one else to go to. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, if you say so. You reckon the disciples understood what the Lord was preaching about? Much of the time, they were just in the same boat as the multitude many times, but they were blessed and privileged to say, Lord, what did you mean by that? Amen. But they knew that he is the one. They knew that he has the words of eternal life. And he goes on and says, and we believe and are sure, verse 69, that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That's right along with what we read in the other Gospels, isn't it? You're the Christ. See, you're not a prophet. Although the Lord was a prophet, but you are the Messiah. You are the one that the Old Testament has told us about. Solid testimony concerning his Savior. What would you and I say about our Lord? And then we come back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. How long has this been? How long have our brethren been there during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has it been a year? Has it been a handful of months? Think about the things that they went from, and thinking about Peter and his brother and James and John, and from the time that they left fishing in Galilee and left their father's boats and the operation that they had there, and they started walking with the Lord and being a part and in the midst of his ministry. Think about the whirlwind of things that they saw and experienced. They met Jesus down at down there where John was baptizing. They went back home, and then Jesus comes along one day and says, "Follow me." And they've been following him since. And all the things that they've seen and they keep hearing, you know, they were there for every message that the Lord Jesus Christ preached during his ministry. Some people would come and some people would go. And there were others that trooped along too. As we mentioned, Matthias was there with that troop from the beginning to the end. But what a change in their life. What don't you know that they wondered and marveled about this one that had come and called them? Amen. He came and called them. They weren't volunteers. They were assigned. they were arrested by our Lord, weren't they? And then taught by him and saw the miracles that they did and the amazing way that our Lord walked and that he would rebuke them and they were corrected by it and wouldn't be offended by it. They wondered about the Lord and his words offending others, but the Lord took them and straightened them out about that. They asked and he told them. And then we come down here to this in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. He asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, as we've read, "Thou art the Christ," verse 16, "the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." He used two of his names, didn't he? As it is, the further you go south, they like to use two. Parents like to use two names to get on you. He got real personal with him, didn't he? "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." You haven't learned this on your own, Simon, but it's been revealed to you of my Father, which is in heaven. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, a little stone, a little rock. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock, not the same as Peter, but a great rock, bedrock, a rock greater than any, the Lord indicating himself, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The death of men, women, boys, and girls that are members of my church, that I'll add to my church, their death will not cause my church to cease to exist. "And I will give unto thee," not to Peter, but to the church, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give to my institution," my institution, the nation of Israel, has had them, but I'm going to transfer them to my church. You want to know about heaven? You want to know about God? You want to know about eternity? You want to know about salvation? You want to know about redemption? You want to know about everlasting life. You want to know about forgiveness. You want to know about sin. You want to know about death. You want to know about hell. You want to know about the grave. You want to know about all things. My church will have the answer. "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Responsibility, authority and responsibility. "And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus. That's the name he was given, because he's going to save his people from his sins, right? The Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer. Peter is part of that first building. There's never been a church like this church before. There's been other groups. The scripture refers to the nation of Israel as that church in the wilderness. It was the Lord's congregation at that time, but this church is different. This church is the Lord's church, and you know what? It's made out of sinners that the Lord saved, that He's called unto. Again, they didn't apply or volunteer. Jesus went and arrested them, didn't He? Jesus went and called them. He said, Peter, you're here, but I'm going to build this church upon a foundation. I'm going to build upon this foundation that is me. And so can you imagine, can you put yourself in Peter's shoes, in the disciples' shoes that day, where the Lord said, this is the beginning of something that has not been before? These brethren would all be about the nation. We even see in later scriptures where they're going to say, are you ready to restore the kingdom now? James and John say, must be getting close. Lord, can I sit on your right hand and the other one sit on the left hand when you come into your glory and the power in your kingdom? Peter's ready to start lopping off ears in Gethsemane, isn't he? When the Lord says, yeah, you need a couple swords, or you need a sword, you know, sell your stuff and get a sword. They say, well, here's two. And the Lord said, that's enough. And they said, that's enough. There's 12 of us, or 11 of us. They're at the beginning of something that has never been. A fisherman from Galilee called to be in the Lord's church. We turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and we want to be reminded of this. And I wonder about that reference to Peter in light of this passage. The Lord talks, and Peter is mentioned a lot. Peter is first in the listing of the apostles, as we've seen. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has done all things by His own power and His own design, and that it is the church, Olmsted Baptist Church, our head is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I wonder in that reference to Peter, and we need to keep that, and Peter and the other brethren, not just Peter himself, but the other brethren, in light of this passage. In Ephesians chapter 2, we look at this. Verse 18, for through Him, that is our Lord, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He's speaking to the church at Ephesus. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, even you Gentiles, right? But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We are all saved. All those that are saved are in the family of the Lord. But then it goes on, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the one, that chief cornerstone, that stone rejected by the elders, that stone that was a stumbling block to the leadership in Israel in the day of His ministry. He is the one that keeps and sticks the foundation together. Here it tells us that this household, this not just family, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is built upon the foundation of the apostles. They are the first leadership given by the Lord unto the church. And they were there with the ministry of the Lord, so then they could teach and preach about that. And some ultimately write about that, and it's carried out. Their fruit remains even to us today by the design and work of our Lord. But Peter is there, a fisherman that nobody in Israel knows about, along with Andrew and James and John, being used of the Lord as the Lord builds His church. Foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Peter, part of that first building, the first church of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just amazing, isn't it? The working of our Lord. We might look on and the world will look on and they'd say, well, you know, why such low men? Why such men of little esteem? Well, that's the way God does things. Praise be to God. A sinner doesn't have to be a somebody in the world to qualify to be saved and used by the Lord. Amen. And, you know, so that, again, that shows us in our brother's life, speaks to us about there's help and hope for us in our Lord. There's help and hope for us. Lord willing, next time we're going to come here in Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to see about confidence that is welled up within our brother, and all this that he has seen, all this that he has been given, all this that he has been called into, it wells up within him to where he thinks he understands and preconceives the way things ought to be. And he totally misses it. And the rebuke is great and heavy. Lord willing, we'll see that next time.